Hello everyone, Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing once more, and today I'm talking to Gisanjali Hemp, who is not only a master energy healer, but has come up with her own system of energy healing, so we've followed similar paths there. Today she's going to talk about tending to the voices of dissonance. So, Gisanjali, are you there?
I'm here. Very awesome. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And I'm really curious to hear about the voices of dissonance and how to tend to them.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite teachings that I offer and work with people. And it's just really, really simple and it's really powerful. So tending to the voices of dissonance, you know, we all have them. The voices of dissonance, the voices that come up and get in the way and, you know, kind of derail us a lot of the time. So it's a way of really working with them. And there's a lot of different models and ways people talk about this. And so
can I just ask you, just to be clear, are you talking about external voices or internal voices?
Internal voices.
Okay.
Internal voices.
Thank you.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, it's our fears, it's our doubts, it's our insecurities. Sometimes it's our repressed anger or frustration. It's all the feelings that we don't necessarily feel comfortable expressing. So sometimes they're negative ones, but sometimes they're dissonant with our sense of self is what I would say, right? So sometimes they can even show up as things that are really positive and we're not ready to embody that. And so we kind of quell them or quiet them or shush them or push them under the rug, and that leads to symptoms. Mm-hmm. So when we're working with voices of dissonance, we're usually like first looking towards like, the initial reason for exploring this is because there's a symptom occurring in life, emotionally or physically. So it's kind of a process of discovery. So, you know, there'll be something presenting like, oh God, I just feel really overwhelmed, or I feel really depressed, or I just feel like I don't have direction, or I'm feeling frustrated, or, you know, sometimes it's a physical symptom. I just feel really tired and fatigued, or I feel a lot of back pain or neck tension or you know, something that's not, or feel really wiry. Like I just feel kind of agitated or anxious. Mm-hmm. And it's just this underlying feeling. And so tending to the voices of dissonance is really taking the time to explore and discover what's really going on.
I love it. So often I think people will address one thing, but actually there's something else going on that's really the problem. So even if we appropriately address what we think is the problem, it doesn't actually ultimately help.
Yeah, there's this way that, you know, we'll get into more details of how to actually do this, but just to say to start is that, you know, so much I think of reality is just wanting to be heard and wanting to be seen. And I think that our presence is so powerful that it's really like magic. You know, sometimes we do all these things, efforting and trying to do things, but if we just get really present with something, so much resolves itself organically. And I think it's like, it's so miraculous when we start to really discover that.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I'm anxious to dig in.
Yeah, let's dig in. So tending to the voices of dissonance, you know, so we have all these parts, we have all these voices. So just for instance, you know, if there is an issue or a place where there's a symptom arising, you know, be it an emotional symptom or a life circumstance or even something physical that's going on, the first thing with this work is that we do need to kind of stabilize the nervous system a little bit. So we need to have cultivated a little bit of witness perspective or a little bit of just like sense of being able to, you know, drop into our breath and come into a state of wanting to explore, right? So we become the thing that hears the sound. We become the witness of the thoughts that are moving, right? Rather than completely identifying as that feeling or as that thought. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So if we can settle into that to even like a slight degree, and from that place, we just lean in with our awareness into the symptom or the feeling. So, you know, maybe it's just a feeling of exhaustion. Maybe there's just a feeling of like, wow, I feel a little scattered, a little overwhelmed, and I just feel exhausted. I don't quite have the energy to take care of what I need to, and I don't know why. Maybe that's you know, that comes up for me from time to time.
Right. So just to be clear, then, mm-hmm. So but when you say feeling is identity, just to make sure I'm understanding for everyone listening, so this would be the difference between, say, I am so overwhelmed, or I am so depressed or sad or whatever, versus I am feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling sad, I am something like that.
Yeah, totally, totally. So, you know, one of the ways that I work with the dissonant voices, I'm kind of backtracking, but I think it'll make sense.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's a lot like, I have kids, and some of the listeners might have kids, some of them might not, but I think people will still relate. It's like, if your kid is like, you know, there's a monster under my bed, mm-hmm. right? There's different ways we can respond to that or react to that. We can be like, oh my God, there really is a monster under your bed, and we can freak out with them. Not super helpful. That's us identifying with the voice, right? Like, oh my God, we need to run. Like, you know, whatever it would be. So that's identifying with it. Okay. And then what we tend to do more often than that, we do that. But another thing that we do is we just say, like, I'm not going to listen to you. La, 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 la. Like, that's not happening. And shut the door and go to bed. Like, you know, and even people who have done a fair amount of work on themselves do this a lot. Like, I'm not going to listen to you, go to sleep. And I think if we think about this in terms of if it was our kid, we wouldn't probably do that. Like, that's a pretty extreme and non-empathetic way to relate. You know, like, I'm just not going to hear you. And I think there's a middle ground, and that's how we tend to the voices. So if your child is saying, I think there's a monster under the bed, the most empathetic and useful way of addressing that, I think, is to go and sit down with them and say, like, wow, I really hear you. You really think there's a monster under the bed. I imagine you're really afraid. What can we do to help you feel less afraid? You know, and maybe it's like, let's get a flashlight out and look under the bed together. Let's leave the door open ajar. I promise I'll come check in 10 minutes and make sure the monster's still not there. Like, you know, and what will happen when we do that is that they'll settle, their nervous system will settle. And, like, you know, within a couple nights, probably it will be a non-issue. And what happens is, if we believe them, it's going to be an issue forever. They're going to be running for their whole life along with mm-hmm. us. And if we don't believe them, don't want to hear them, don't want to talk to them, you know, and ignore it or shove it under the rug or want them to just kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, like, grow up or whatever before they're ready, that anxiety is going to increase over time, and it's going to come out in bigger and bigger ways. It's going to get louder and louder as that child gets older. And so as we externalize the scenario, what I'm saying is that this is what's happening inside of us all the time as well. And so when we believe our internal voices, it's not a very good situation. And when we try to ignore or bypass or shove down or push through those internal voices, they get louder and come out sideways in other ways, and they're still framing our life and experience over time. And we don't have a chance, our nervous system doesn't have a chance to recalibrate and to really settle, because there's these things that are pulling for our attention. And so, again, even with the internal voices, if we can find that nice middle path and really tend to them, and we can get into a little bit more with that in a minute, then there's this way that they settle. And they actually usually have some level of wisdom or insight that's really grounded, that's helpful for us moving forward.
Nice, thank you.
Yeah. So do you want to go into one? Play with it a little bit?
Yeah, let me ask you one more question first. I'm just wondering myself, mm-hmm. you know, over the years I've noticed that one of the things that happens is that people have trouble distinguishing their intuition from their fears. And you just reminded me when you mentioned about wisdom and insight. And I wondered if this touches on what you're talking about before you jump in, or that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely could. It's not quite the same thing, I don't think, but I think that it definitely could. Because again, yeah. So as a broad stroke to that question, I would say in general, when wisdom and insight comes in, we don't feel super triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And when voices come in, we do. However, it's tricky because sometimes the wisdom and insight isn't triggering, but the reaction to it really soon after is, and it's hard to distinguish where that line is.
Yeah.
So that takes some work. But in either case, doing this tending process and practice that we'll get into in a moment, would still clarify what was wanting to happen and where things were coming from.
Okay.
Yeah. So going back to the example, so like, for instance, I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed and I'm feeling exhausted by it and I'm having a hard time actually accomplishing things in the way that I'd like to because I'm just feeling overwhelmed. It's kind of got a slight depressive twinge to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there can be any example. This is just one. So if that's the case, if I can just kind of center in myself and be like, okay, I want to show up for this. I want to see what's going on. And in whatever way is real for me, if I can just lean into that sensation or that emotion with my awareness and just ask it from this really open and curious and loving place and ask it if it has something to share with me or if it has something that it really needed me to know or understand, what would it be? What's it trying to express? And what happens when we do this, after doing this work with so many people over so many years, is either it starts to shift immediately, physically and emotionally, and it doesn't even need much content. It just starts to change. You have a different felt sense. Or layers emerge. And through that sitting with it process, some of it settles, and then there's another layer or there's another piece. And oftentimes there's some words or language that comes directly from it. And so, for instance, in that type of a situation, it might be like, well, you know, we never get it right. We never get it right, and that's why we just shouldn't even try. You'll never get this right. Maybe that's the voice, right? So what felt just like this feeling starts to have some content, and there's some beliefs embedded in it, right? And the beliefs are, you never get it right, just don't even try. So then what happens here is not to believe the voice and really tend to it like a child and start to say, just repeat back to it what you're hearing. I hear that you feel this way. I hear that we never get it right. That must be a really frustrating feeling. I get why you feel that way. You've gotten that feedback from your life, from people in your life lots of times, and you've fallen flat a couple of times. It makes sense that you'd feel that way and you'd be afraid. And then the part settles again. And here you'll start to feel like your nervous system shifting, like, wow, like nothing changed. You didn't fix anything. You didn't solve a problem, but something shifts and the felt sense begins to settle. The nervous system starts to recalibrate. And it might say like, yeah, it's so exhausting. And then maybe there's even a little bit of teariness that comes with that. And let that happen. Again, you're not believing it, but you're still feeling the feelings. So there's a little bit of teariness. Like, and maybe now there starts to be an insight like, wow, when I was a kid, this was really extreme. And it was really bad when I didn't show up well and right. You know, I got a lot of flack for that. And I lost a lot of connection and love with my parents when that happened, maybe, right? This, making up stories here, but something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so then just going back and being like, well, is there something that you need? What else can I say to you? You know, what else do you need from me here? And the answer, you know, might be like, I need a lot of space to mess up. You know, and so again, every conversation is going to go differently. And a lot of it is giving empathy to that place, like saying something like, I imagine it's really lonely and isolating to feel like you have to do everything perfectly. You know, and maybe it needs to hear or feel you sitting there and telling it, you know, I know that you're worthwhile even when you mess up. And just giving it something like that. The thing is these parts are incredibly smart and savvy. So if you just tell them like, oh, it doesn't matter, or like, yeah, we'll take care of that, they know that you're not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being honest with them, you know, like, and saying something like, you know, yeah, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. Right. And I'm not going to abandon you when that happens. And so what happens is really what we're doing energetically, because, you know, the model that I'm working in, like fundamentally is an energetic model, is that we're really weaving these energies that have kind of gotten compartmentalized out of the center of ourselves. They're kind of like these little pockets of energy that are not connected to our greater flow. We're weaving them home. We're weaving them back through our zero point to be reorganized in a useful way through our energy system. So that energy and life force is circulating in ways that are beneficial. And so a lot of the time when these voices, when they actually come up with what they need will actually be like, this is what I need to feel safe. And what they need to feel safe will create some kind of a boundary. Like, I need you to give me time and space to create and have someone someone who's trustworthy look at it before it goes out into the world. Like, they'll give you some sort of really directive knowing of what you need to move forward, and they become our wisdom in that way. And so I see a lot of kind of spiritual process work kind of bypassing this step of integration, of really, really harvesting the wisdom of these places and voices. And what happens is that these voices are what helps us to actually ground our new insights into tangible manifestations and form.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like the emphasis that you give on, you know, grounding things in tangible, you know, manifestation. I think sometimes that becomes such a in our minds a nebulous woo-woo kind of process, when often manifestation is as simple as a grounding activity. Like, one of my favorites is, if you write it in your calendar on a specific day and time, physical manifestation has begun. And so I really appreciate the grounding of as a foundation for moving forward. In a meaningful, visual way.
Yeah, I mean, another way of framing it is like saying that this is kind of tending to the dissonant voices, or the voices of dissonance is also, you know, we're working with the parts of self. We're working with the egoic structure. So, you know, a lot of spiritual traditions would maybe talk about transcending the ego, and the ego is our vehicle. It's our way of connecting and relating and interfacing in life, really. And so what we want to do is actually to be able to, like, for it to serve a higher purpose, for us, the truth of who we are, our witness perspective, our soul, our essence, to be what is creating coherence of expression through that vehicle. So we don't actually want to just, like, shove it away, because we actually want to make impactful shifts and changes in our life and our relationships and our culture and our society. So we want to be reorganizing that structure and the way we can express and relate to the world around us. And that's how we do it, by actually really bringing it in alignment, bringing it home.
Cool. I really love this language that you're using, about sending things home and coherence of expression and, you know, getting past that to serve a higher purpose. It gives us an energy of not, you know, not like healing a wound, but rather redirecting something in the way it was meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah, coming into wholeness, into alignment, into coherent expression, into the fullness of, like, the beauty of who each and every one of us are.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay, what's next?
Well, there's one piece I just keep popping in my mind, so I want to speak to it, which is just sometimes what'll happen when we're doing this work with the dissonant voice or dissonant part. They're not ready to talk to us yet. You're kind of sitting with it and you're like, well, I don't know, you know, or you'll get something like really, really subtle. Like, it'll just be like, you'll just feel like, whoa, that part is just really standoffish and kind of angry, you know? And so people get stuck there and be like, well, I'm not getting much, you know? So what I would say to do in those instances is to say, like, wow, I'm not getting much, but I feel that you're really, really angry. You know, I can feel like you're really, so really just feedback whatever's there. And then there might be a slight softening, and, like, you know, and then just saying, like, you know, I am really curious about what your reality is like. Like, I really do want to know. And it's kind of like, we can have this way of going after something, like seeking and searching. And these parts are tender, so they might, like, run and hide if we do that. So one of the things I talk to people about is, like, when we're going to get information from these parts, this open curiosity that's kind of like, you know, if you had a scared little kitten and you brought it home and it's hiding under the couch, if you keep going and chasing after it and putting the, like, the broom handle under the couch to try to get it out, it's just going to make things worse, you know? So it's more like you sit back on the couch and you kind of mellow out, Just give it time and space and just let it know and feel your presence and let it know and feel like you're there when it's ready. And, you're being really welcoming and slowly it'll start coming out and towards you. And so sometimes there's a bit of a process in that way. And really, sometimes I call these parts like all these little voices, all these little chickies, like all these little parts. And so just that they really are childlike, even if they seem extremely controlling or angry or, whatever they are, they really, once we get down to the roots of them, they're very childlike. They're these little, sweet little creatures that have been wounded. And so just knowing that from the beginning, even when they're growling and barking or whatever it is that they're doing.
That's a really good analogy of that. When my partner and I first moved in together, she had a cat and I had two cats, and they all had their own opinions about how life should be, and having had experience in the past of doing this wrong, we designated one of the room, the bedroom was for my cats, and they closed the door and they hid under the bed for a couple days, but within a few days, just leaving everybody alone, they're all sniffing at the crack of the door at each other, and then it's like, okay, I think we're ready. But it's an interesting analogy because, just as you say, you can't force that. You'll just have a clawing, hissy mess, but you leave it alone, and in its own time, that turns from okay to, we want to get on the other side of this door and check each other out.
Yeah, totally. Giving things that spaciousness for, with a loving awareness.
Yeah, and now they're best buds. So it's
Totally.
interesting. Never thought of it that way. Going to start thinking
Yeah.
of my feelings as cats.
All the moody cats, yeah. Yeah, another way that this shows up that I'm thinking about now is like we have it arise as symptoms, right? But that's kind of like when we're at symptom expression, like we're having heavy feelings or we're having, physical symptoms or whatever. We're pretty in it already. So one of the things that I talk to clients about, and then it's harder. It's always harder when we're already somewhat triggered. It's harder to find the presence to sit with these things sometimes. So one of the things I talk about too is that there's this way that, we all go through our peaks and valleys. We kind of have this little bit of roller coaster or waves that we ride in life, right? Ups and downs emotionally. And I think one of the things is when we hit this like upper level kind of place and we start to peak out and then we kind of crash. And that's a very choppy way of living. But sometimes we can have a little bit more of a fluid way when when I talk about this, I usually have like a drawing that I work with on the board so it's easier to see. So I'm going to try to do it all vocally. But there's this way when we're starting to peak out and we're kind of reaching a high point is to take the time. We never want to do this. This goes into states of consciousness work that I do, but we won't get into that too much. But we never really want to do this because we're starting to feel really good and we're starting to feel like really, really good. And we want to ride that as long as we can. That's our tendency to want to just like feel good and enjoy the high. But I highly recommend when that's starting to happen, what's also starting to happen is the nervous system starting to get just a little wiry. And that's what generally pulls us back down when we're kind of starting to ride a high. And so when we start to feel like, ooh, look, things are really, really good, this is when having a strong and developed practice, I'm so much about having practices, is really helpful. Because at this point, if you just sit with yourself, take a little bit of time. You could do it, however you feel like, sitting on a bench or in meditation or in your shower. Is just take a little bit of time and just, even though there's no symptom expressing, just saying like, okay, like what, like, come on, little chickies, what are the dissonant voices here? What's here? And they'll be quieter, and they'll be much less. You believe them much less at this point because you feel pretty good. Your nervous system is really well resourced. It's settled and stable because you're doing well. And then the voices might just sound like these little whispers, like, you know, you're doing really well right now, but you know, it always changes. You know, this can't last forever. You know, there's some little whispers going on back there, you know? And if you take the time in that moment to be like, I'm going to listen to you right now, then what tends to happen is when you listen to them, then they kind of settle and you don't crash. It does bring you down a little bit when you do that, which isn't as fun. You get more to balance, but it brings you down, and but you don't crash, and you much more easily come higher next time. Your nervous system is more stable to go even higher in the next round, and you don't crash to the bottom. You come down a little bit in listening to those voices and really, like, you're right. Like, it's not always great, and I do crash. What happens when I, like, what do you want to tell me about that? And be like, well, you push too hard. You're so excited. You push too hard. You don't sleep, and this is what happens, you know? Or, like, you stay up late to finish the projects, and or you start caring too much what other people think because you're getting such good accolades, and one person says one thing. You know, and so you listen to the voices and you're like, wow, you're right. That totally happened. Hmm. Well, what if we sleep a little bit earlier? What if I don't push so hard? Or, you know, it'll be different things. I'm making it up again.
Right.
I don't know what it'll be. It's always organic and different. Or maybe it'll be like, you're right. I am caring too much what people think. Let me settle in right now and really feel how I feel about this and what I need to change before the you know, framing needs to come from the outside to reorganize the direction we're taking here, you know? So there's a way it does slow us down a little bit, but our baseline increases and we're able to go further, longer, moving forward.
You know?
And so, yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple of things that I'm curious that I'd love to hear your thoughts on given mm-hmm. what you've just said. They're both short stories. I try to make them brief. But one, when I was coming out of a particularly rough time in life, I did, among the things I did was at night, I did what I called the octopus meditation. And it was like whatever negative things I was still clinging to, I thought of them as tentacles. And I would just, you know, kind of mentally pick them off and as many times as I needed to, slowly and gently, and so that I didn't take that stuff to bed with me. And then at first it was hard, then it got easier, and it wasn't any judgment, just like, let's just not carry this forward. And as I started to do that, I started to, this wasn't why I did it, but I started to learn not to pick up those things in the first place, because I'm only going to have to untangle myself later. And then when that got kind of reasonable, I also noticed that there was something wasn't quite working, and when I figured out what it is, as I did not just negative things, but positive things I was clinging to, you know, the things I'm playing in my head over and over and over and over again. And so those things too, I would grab and say, okay, yeah, you did a good job with this. You know, congratulations. Now get over yourself, hot shot, and let's get to bed. And I was just curious, your thoughts on that, in terms of this high that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's great. There's definitely that place, you know, like, you know, if we do frame it as the ego, I don't like a lot of the ego work and talk because, again, I think it's demonized in a way that I don't really agree with. But I do think, you know, if we are talking about the ego, it works both ways. It's the part that is negative, and it's the part that gets overly positive, like, you know, overly hot shot. So finding that balance between the two and not having so much attachment to either side of it is so helpful. And that, and the fact that in you detangling, realizing, and just not picking it up anymore, your awareness growing in that way, that's really beautiful.
It strikes me, just thinking about it now, that the reason I'm wondering if that worked well was that There's a distinction between, you know, feeling good about mastery and patting yourself on your back excessively because you're afraid that you're not good enough. So you got to keep
that's why I like the dissonant voices piece, because it is really getting to the root of the root, right? Like, it's the root of the root. It's the same, exactly what you're saying. It's the same feeling generating both. It's the feeling of not enoughness generating the need for excessive accolades and for feeling like we're not enough and doubtful, you know? And so really tending to that root reorganizes both of those expressions.
The other is a story that this made me think of, that about releasing or putting the releasing of energy that you talked about. I started my career as a professional musician, and I almost didn't, because I was in grad school at New England Conservatory, where I was on a scholarship, but that doesn't pay for living in Boston. And so I was working full time. I was going to school full time. I was doing all the things that you'd expect of somebody who's trying to become a classical performer. And I was sleeping, except for the weekends, a couple of hours a night. Low for your early 20s, right? But I was living on caffeine, and I couldn't do it anymore. I was so tired and so frustrated, and just said, you know what, this is not going to work. I'm going to have to go out and find a real career. And I got an indefinite leave of absence from the conservatory, and I moved back home with my parents, and I owed my housemates money, and I'd sold some of my music, and I was just really, really fed up. And I had come back that day to my parents, and the phone rang, and the symphony for which I had auditioned as an extra a long time ago was on the phone, said, we need somebody to come play Stravinsky Symphony of Psalms. And I was really honestly fed up. I didn't want to do it. I was through. But I owed my housemates money. I couldn't turn down work when I owed them money. So he's like, well, okay, well, when is this? He goes, oh, it's tonight. So, okay, so off I go. And so this would have been something that would normally have, scared me completely, because now I'm in the big time and I'm, I have no prep. What's interesting is that my attitude was one of, yes, I want to do the absolute best possible job, like always, but I'm also, but if somebody's got a problem with this, I'm on the way out. Here, you play. You think you can do better. And so I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. And the point of the story is this, that all of a sudden, all those things that usually come away when you're nervous, I played instantly at an incredibly higher level that I ever had before, and I did from that day on. And I'm looking around and I realized what it was, which was like, when you stop worrying what everybody else thinks, all that energy goes into your playing. And I thought, this is something really interesting I'm learning here. So I was just wondering your thoughts on that, about like releasing energy and stuck energy and letting go of those things.
So, that was such a, you're in the flow. That was such a ripening moment. It's like that moment was orchestrated in a destined type of way to get you to that place. And it's exactly what we're talking about. It is taking all of those dissonant voices, all the parts that are caring what other people think, and channeling it in a single pointed focus towards what you're creating, what you're expressing. And that you were able to do that is really a gift. It was like the perfect mix of circumstances and opportunities for you to get that experience. And that's just really being in the flow and being in a ripe moment for your own, piece of development and growth. And it's a beautiful example of that. Yeah.
It launched my career, frankly.
Yeah. 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 And so, there's such a mix. Like we do the best we can. We learn practices. We do what we do. We show up in these ways. And we're part of such a greater context, and there's so many things that are, I don't want to necessarily say predestined, but I do think there's a greater plan that we step in and out of, we contribute to creating, and that is also being created through us, around us, by us, with us,
Right.
So I think there's so many things happening simultaneously.
Yeah. I do the same thing in energy work, you probably do as well, which is I get into something and it seems at first overwhelming and like, well, it's not all up to you. Just do your part.
And I would say, even in the work that I do, so much of it, like, Centaurus system is the model.
Yeah. You still there? Hello? You still there? I think we may have lost her for a second. We'll give it a moment, and if not, we'll try again and connect the two calls here in just a minute. Okay, let me see if I can get her. All right, she's back. Here we go.
I'm back. So I think what I was saying was, I don't know why I was saying it yet, but I think I'll find it again.
Okay.
But in the model I developed, it's called Centaurus System. It's really a model of maps and principles. So instead of it being really protocol based, it really is this emergent explorative process. And so, I'm definitely, most of the time, I'd say when I'm working, I don't know. I can think I know what needs to happen or what needs to be realized or how the energy is going to move. And sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm not, but I'm really following the organic expression of the person that I'm working with in their highest alignment. And so I'm constantly surprised by what unfolds and what their internal wisdom directs them towards and shows them. And we're all just so wise as we learn how to connect to that. And we're so brilliant in our own personal expressions. And when we learn how to really meet and be in the flow with life, and that's, I really like my biggest kind of meta belief is that if each one of us really lived from that place and did that, our whole world would be a really different place, and it would be so much more harmonious and so much more coherent and balanced.
Sweet, absolutely sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
I'm not sure what's next. Where would you like to go next? Are there any questions you have to move
No,
in some direction?
nope, I'm good.
Good. Well, it feels like a pretty complete thought or place to end on. There's
Okay.
always more to talk about, but I feel pretty good. If you feel good.
Okay. So, what I usually do at the end of a call is I will walk through and kind of give a little summary. And, since you're here, maybe I'll just do that and you can either jump in when you have some thoughts or at the end add things that come up for you and we'll end it uniquely that way. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, so what I heard is that we have these internal voices, for example, fear, doubt, insecurity, maybe repressed anger, or even just voices that are at dissonance with our sense of self. Maybe they could be even be positive voices, but we aren't ready to hear them at some point. And so, Kasandali laid out that this is a process of discovery. Perhaps we're feeling overwhelmed or stressed or tired or agitated, that we're kind of looking for the underlining feeling that much of reality is waiting to be heard and seen, and that finding that presence is magic and can help things resolve themselves. So she talked about stabilizing our nervous system, that often we have experience feelings as if they are identity. And so, for example, a child who thinks there's a monster under the bed, we could say, "Oh, yep, there's a monster under your bed," and then that will go on forever. Or we could just kind of cover our ears and go, "La la 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 la, I'm not hearing you." Or we can take the middle path, and it's like, "Yeah, I hear you. What can I, that must be hard. What can I do?" And then we can start to settle. And so, several points she pointed out that are these feelings, they're kind of like children in a way. So we can believe those internal voices, or we can try to push them down, in which case they become louder and they come out in other ways. Or we can look for the wisdom and insight in that middle ground. What we have to learn from this, and then we don't feel so triggered by this, and we can start to settle in. So, if, for example, we're feeling overwhelmed, is there a lesson for me in this? We can, and what are the layers of feeling as we start to work through those things? So, we can go, okay, I hear that you're feeling in such a way that must be really frustrating. If I know that you're worthwhile, even when even when sometimes you mess up, and not things that are lies that we know aren't true. I know you'll never mess up again. Well, we know that's not true. And that she talked about this is getting energy out of their pockets, and sending it back home, circulating it again in a way that's beneficial, which made me remember a bunch of things that I shared. She talked about these voices can up ground in an insightful manifestation, that this process can help to serve a higher purpose, to gain a coherence of expression. Sometimes our voices aren't something that are sometimes our voices aren't ready. We just lay back a little bit. We can't say, well, your anger, I really do want to know. Come on, tell me. No, just feedback. I know, I hear that this is, that you're really angry right now. Or, because if we push, then they might run. And she shared the analogy of, if the cat is scared and hiding under the bed, and you try to coax it out with a broom handle, you're only going to make the situation worse. She also pointed out something that really fascinated me, that when we are experiences the symptoms of these voices of dissonance, we're in it pretty heavily already. It's been going on. So it's a really good reminder of how much patience and care it takes as we start to address this. She also said even when we're feeling good and, riding high, we'd naturally try to stay there. But that also can make our nervous system jittery. And that those voices may well be there, softer, but still we can listen, and then we won't crash as soon, and then we can more easily ride that high again, and as we start to undergo a continual process of our refinement, I guess, refinement being my word, not hers. So a really fascinating thing. Really has reframed a lot of this thought in my mind. So how'd I do?
You did so amazingly well. I can't believe you did that. Just on the fly like that.
Well, I just don't listen to the voices that tell me I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, if there's Yeah, go ahead.
I just going to say thank you so much for joining us. If people want
I'm
to
really
know
grateful
more,
to be here.
Yeah, if people want to know more about this, where do they go?
You can go to the website, which is syntarasystem.com. Syntara system, system.com. And there's some podcasts and different content there that you can check out.
That's great. Thank you once again. This has been fun and informative.
Thank you. It's a really, really pleasure for me as well.
All right. Take care.